We begin the current daf Maseches Brachos, daf Lamed Beis. We begin on the top of the Amid. The Gemara continues on the theme of the previous daf, discussing the idea about the Yitzhar, the evil inclination that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, and because of that, it's so to speak our excuse why we're not exactly how we should be, and that Hashem takes, so to speak, part of the blame because He made and created the Yitzhar, and that's why we do the things that we're not supposed to, and we don't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu perfectly as we would like to. So the Gemara begins. Amar Abchama Reb Chanina, El Moli Sholesh Mekroes Halal. If not for these three psukim, that these three psukim say testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in His capacity, so to speak, to rectify our inclinations and to remove the Yitzhar from us, Nismaytu to Raglim Shoshani Yisrael. Then the legs of those who hate the Jews, which is a reference, a euphemism for the Jews themselves, their legs would falter. In other words, we would have no standing in the court of law, in the court of law in Shemayim. But now that we have some type of an excuse, some type of opening of our mouth, that Hashem, so to speak, caused it for us, that He created the Yitzhara, that's how we have, so to speak, some standing. As the Gemara brings Chad, one of the psukim is the Chsiv, as it says, of Asher Hari Yosi, which the Gemara had previously mentioned, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, says that I have caused them to be evil. Again, he was taking responsibility, as Eliyahu Nabi had told him that, you know, it's, so to speak, Hashem, your fault, that you made the Yitzhar, that we're not perfect. A second pasuk is, V'chad d'chsiv, hinika chimer b'yad ha-yoytzim, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, and it's a pasuk that many know from the Tefillos on Rosh Hashanah, kein atem b'yad ha-beis Yisrael, so are you in my hands, the house of Israel, which is saying the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it in his arsenal, so to speak, to go ahead and change us and make us for the better. And the fact that He created us with this evil inclination is the reason why we're not perfect. And the third pasuk is, that I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, saying these three psukim are all, so to speak, our excuses. That to say that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's in your hands that you could make us how we should be and we would like to be, but this that you made us with the Yitzhara is the reason why we're not as we should be. So Rav Papa Amar Mahachi brings a different pasuk. Ve'asruchi etim bekebachem, my spirit I will put him within them. Ve'asisi esa shebechukai telechu, and that I will make it so that they will do the commandments that I have commanded them to go, in the same idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eventually change us and make us the perfect beings that we should be and that we could fulfill everything that He has commanded of us. So now the Gemara goes back to what was discussed in the previous daf, that there were those, Eliyahu Navi and Chana, that they, so to speak, flung words at Hashem, so to speak, coming with complaints and saying, Hashem, it's not right, what's going on? So the Gemara brings another personage that did that. V'amar Ebelaza, Moshe hitich dvarim klal b'mal. Then Moshe himself, he flung words towards above, towards Hashem. Shnei as it says in the pasuk, V'yispal Moshe el Hashem, that Moshe davened to Hashem. So he says, Al tikri el Hashem el al Hashem, that it shouldn't be read to Hashem, rather on Hashem. In other words, it was thrown towards Hashem as a complaint. Shekain debay Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, karen la'alfen einin la'einin alfen, as we see that aleph and ayin are interchangeable, that there are those that they pronounce their alephs like ayins and their ayins like alephs, as the custom by many today is, although in Mitzad Halacha, the ayin is an ayin, it's a deeper, as the Magen Avraham says, a deeper pronunciation than the aleph. But there are those that switch it, and in the interchangeability of the letters, aleph and ayin are very similar, and therefore it's that Hashem, that Moshe davened on Hashem, and that he also threw words to Hashem, in other words, in a complaining fashion. So the Gemara brings a different source. Deber b'yanai army mehocha, they bring vidi zahav. That where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, flung words at Hashem? That way he was talking about all the different places that Klal Yisrael had been to. So one of them is Dizahav. So the Gemara is Maiva Dizahav. What is this a reference to? As Chazal tell us that all the places that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, he was referencing to different things that Klal Yisrael had done that were not perfect, that they had done things wrong. So Amri Deber B'yanai, Kach Amar Moshe L'Bnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, he was saying that although Klal Yisrael had done bad, he was saying this in front of Hashem and saying the following. Rebbeinu Shalom, Master of the World, b'shvil kesev v'zahav, because of the gold and the silver, sheshpatlam liyisrael, atcha umr dai, that you had, so to speak, flourished on them, that until they said enough, hu garm sha'asa segel, that is what caused them to build the golden calf and to serve it. In other words, that's v'dizav, that it was enough gold, that it was, so to speak, your fault. I know you meant well. And that's why you flourished us with blessings, but because you gave us too much, that caused us to be in that frame of mind, not subservient, not humble, and that's why they did the egg on that Vidizav, although it references to the bad things that Klai Yisrael did, it was, so to speak, flinging it, so to speak, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying that it's partly Hashem's fault. So now the Gemara continues about this concept, about the problems that come when there's in excess, when we have excess, like was by the Klai Yisrael, when they did the Egel, when they served the Egel Hazav, was because they had an excess of money. Amri de Berbiane, Ein ari noyhem mitech kupishal evan. The lion does not roar, only, he doesn't roar from a basket of straw. Ela mitech kupishal basa, only he roars from a basket of meat. In other words, when he's eating straw, he's not in such an expansive frame of mind. But when he's rejoicing, he goes crazy and he starts damaging. That's when he's eating meat. He gets, so to speak, full of himself. And then he does things wrong. That's similar to what Klai Yisrael did when they had all the gold and the silver and they have it on the top of the world. Then they, so to speak, they're not humble in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore, and that caused him to do the ego. So Amr Vaishya, he gives a mashal, Adam Shaisle Park Khusha Obalasivam. For example, a man that had a lean cow that was very bony. It was on the more depressive side. Hechila karshinen v'hoisim ve'etis boy. So he fed it vetch, which is something that's very pleasurable for an animal, and it was kicking him because now it was feeling all full of itself. Amalom migarm loch shetim ve'etis boy. Says so he told his cow, "What caused it that you should kick me? Ela karshinen shalchaticha. It's rather the vetch that I fed you. In other words, you're biting the arm that's feeding you because I gave you all the good. Now you're kicking me." That's, so to speak, what happened when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave all the gold and silver because he wanted to do good, that caused Klai Yisrael to rebel and to do bad. The Gemara continues on this theme, that Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Reb Yechanan, he gives a different mashal la'odam echad shoy la'ben. We compare to analogy to a man that has a son. Herchitzoi v'sochoi v'chiloi v'eshkeu, he bathed him, he smeared him with oil and made him smell good. He gave him to eat, he gave him to drink. But totally kiss at Savar, and they hung a wallet full of coins on his neck. And then he placed him by the entranceway of the prostitutes. So the Gemara says, Mayasa Isa ben Shliachta, what should that son do and not to sin? He put him in the situation. He gave him everything that was going to put him at sin's door. And that's the same thing that, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. This was what Moshe was saying to Hashem. You gave us everything, you put us in the sin's path because of all that you gave us. This is what people say, the common adage that people say, that when you fill your stomach, that this is the worst of the type of evils. This is one of the things that cause people to sin, is when they fill their stomach and they're full of themselves and they're feeling on top, then they rebel and they kick back at those that actually gave them the good in the first place. Shnem, as it says in the pasuk, Kemar isem v'yizbo. And when you go out to pasture and you're sated, sav of a yarm love libim, that they're sated and then their hearts grow haughty. And then the pasuk says, and that's why you forgot me. That's the concept. Another source for this idea of Nachem Nama Mahacha from this pasuk. Then your heart will grow large, and then you'll be haughty, and then you'll forget Hashem. Rabban Amri Mahacha, Rabban bring a different pasuk, va'ochel v'sava v'dash nufane, that you'll eat and you'll be sated, then you'll grow fat, and then you'll turn away from Hashem. And as we find, when people have it good, then they, so to speak, start forgetting where it's all from. V'ibay same Mahacha, and those that bring from a different pasuk, v'yishman yishurin v'yivot, that yishurin, which is a reference to Klal Yisrael, they grew fat, and then they kicked. So the Gemara says that Amr B'Shulman B'Nachmeni, Amr B'Yainsen, Minayin Shachaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Hoydil L'Moshe. Where do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reverted and he, so to speak, agreed to Moshe, that he, so to speak, Hashem, caused that Klal Yisrael should sin at the eagle? Shanema, as it says in the Pasuk in Yishaya, V'Kesev Herbesi Lehem B'Zav, that I lavished upon them with silver and gold, Asu L'Bal, and then they did it for the Avodah Zarah, and that is, so to speak, it's my fault that I gave them all this good, and because of that, look what they have done. I pampered my child and I put them in a situation where I tempted them because of all the good that I did, and that's why they sinned. So to speak, Hashem was taking partial responsibility. So now that we discussed the Chet HaEgel, the Gemara discusses the psukim that surround the incident. It says, Vaydabishim al Moshe lechrei, that after the Chet HaEgel, Hashem said to Moshe, go and descend. So the Gemara asked, my lechrei, what is this terminology, go and descend? So Amr Rebbe Lazar, Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Moshe the following thing. Moshe, red migdulascha, you have to descend from your greatness. And that is, Klum nesadil chagadula ele b'shvil Yisrael. Did I give you greatness only for one reason, because of Klal Yisrael, that you're their leader? V'achshav Yisrael chatu atolamali. Now that the nation of Israel sinned, so what do I need you for? You're only here, you're only great because of Klal Yisrael. So it says, miyat toshish kliyichish al Moshe, that right away that the strength of Moshe began ebbing, and he didn't have energy, he didn't have strength even to talk, to so to speak, to intervene for Klal Yisrael, because he had no more, so to speak, power anymore. But once Hashem said, Herif mi menev ashmidim, let go of me so that I could destroy them, which in other words Hashem was showing him that you have it in your power that to make me be meichel them through your tefillah. So then, because he's saying let go of me, in other words, he's hinting to him that there's something you could do about it. So Amar Moshe, Doveza Tolabi. So Moshe said that obviously this thing is dependent upon me. Miyad Omid v'neschazik b'tfilo b'kishrachim. So right away he strengthened himself with prayer and he beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Hashem's mercy. And the Gemara brings an analogy to this, that Moshe l'melech shekol sabanai. This can be compared to a king that got angry on the son. V'hoyimakeyu makagdel, and he was beating up his son. Big beatings. And his friend of the king was sitting in front of him, and he was afraid to say anything because he didn't want to intervene in what the king is doing. So Amar HaMelech, El Mole Oyvi Zeh Sheyeshav Lefona Herakticha. So the king told his son, if not for my friend over here that's sitting in front of you, I would kill you. So Amar Davizet Tolibi. So the friend said, obviously it depends on me that I'm, so to speak, a player over here. So he got up right away and he saved him. In other words, he was getting the hint from the king that I don't want to beat up my son. He just deserves it and therefore I have to follow through on it. But if you'll do something, I won't stop you. And that was the hint of Moshe Rabbeinu to go ahead and to salvage Klal Yisrael and to step in at that time. So the Pesukim over there says that Hashem says to Moshe, Va'ata hanichli, and now let go of me. So it's mashmah that it was actually holding on to him. And it says, V'yichir api b'hem, so that let my anger flare up against them, V'akalim, and I'll destroy them, V'esa oischa l'goy god l'vogem, and that I'll make you into a great nation. Let me be done with this nation Israel. I'll make a new nation from you, Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara comments on this, that Amr Abavo, il moli mikro kosev ef shel amri. Were it not an explicit pasuk saying this idea, we wouldn't be able to say this. And that is, malamet shetavse Moshe l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, ka'odim shu tevis is chaver bebigde. That is, so to speak, Moshe Rabbeinu was grabbing onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu like someone that grabs onto his friend's clothing. And that is because it says, v'ata hanichli, now let go of me. V'amu l'fanav Rebbeinu Shalem, and Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Rebbeinu Shalem, in ani manichecha achetimcho v'tiskelhem, I'm not going to let go of you until you forgive and you pardon them. In other words, like when someone's grabbing on, said, I'm not letting go of you. So to speak, Moshe Rabbeinu did the same with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what Hashem is saying, Va'ata hanichli, not let go of me, so I can destroy them. So in that sentence, it said, Va'esa oischa l'gagol l'vogrem, that let me make you into a great nation, let me be done with Klal Yisrael. So Amar Rebbe Elazar says that, Amar Moshe l'vodnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu responded to this, and he said it as follows, Rebbeinu Shleil, U'makisei shel sholosh rugolim, Ein yochal lamed l'fanecha b'shas kascha, if a chair that stands on three legs, which is a reference to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, cannot withstand in front of you at a time of when you're in your anger, that you want to get rid of this nation. So kisi shel regal achat, alachas kamen bekamen. So then a chair with one leg, in other words, just coming from me, not from the three others, so definitely it's not going to be able to stand when you get angry. So what would be the purpose to start again from me? V'loy oda, not only that, there's another reason why I don't want to do this. Elishyesh bi b'yishiz ponim avayse, I'm going to be humiliated and embarrassed for my forefathers. Because achshav yaymiru u'parnas shehem alayim, so they're going to say, look at this leader that they made for them. That b'kish gedul la'atzma v'le b'kish alayim rachim. The only thing he desired was greatness for himself. And he wanted to stay the leader, and so Hashem said, I'll make a great nation from you. He said, oh sure, no problem. And he didn't beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy to save the nation that he was supposed to be the leader over. How could I do that? How could I go ahead and not be mispalev for them and try to make a nation for myself? So it says over there that B'yichal Moshe's Pnei Hashem, that Moshe pleaded before HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save Klal Yisrael. So Amar Belaza, Melamed Sha'amen Moshe B'tfilof HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ad Shehechlehu, that it's, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu stood in prayer before HaKadosh Baruch Hu until that he was, so to speak, pushing him. In other words, it's a Rashi says lashon of hiftzerbay, that he was hechleh, was lashon of that he was pressing him. That's how much he was praying for him. He was putting him in a, so to speak, a tight situation. A different interpretation of vayichal is v'rava amar at shehif v'loy nidre, that he davened so much until he annulled HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vow. And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, Vachalim, that I will annihilate them, I will destroy them. That was, so to speak, his vow. So Moshe Rabbeinu davened so long until he annulled that vow. How do we know that Veichal means that? Because Ksiv Hoch Veichal, or Ksiv Hosam Lo Yachal Devar, it says over there that the individual is not allowed to profane his word. It's talking about when he takes an oath, that he has to keep his word and he cannot profane that. That says Lo Yachal. And the Gemara says that Hu Ein Emechal, Aval Acherim Moichal, that is the individual who made the vow. He is not allowed to profane it. In other words, he cannot annul it. But others can do that, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did for Hashem, is that Vayichal, that he was Yachil, he profaned, so to speak, the neder of Hashem, that he wanted to annihilate them, that he annulled that neder. A different interpretation of what Vayichal means, Ushmul Amar Malamit Shemoser Atzmei Lemisalim, that he was Moser Nefesh for them, he gave himself over to death over Klal Yisrael, and that is because the word Vayichal is closely related to the word Chalol, which is interpreted as the word corpse. And that is, he was going to make himself like a dead person. Shenem, as it says in the pasuk, "Vim ayin mechininu misifrecha." And if not, if it doesn't please you to save Klal Yisrael, then erase me from your book, from the Torah. I don't want you to mention me because I don't want you to destroy Klal Yisrael. And a different interpretation the Gemara brings is Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yitzchok, melamed shehechla aleim midas rachamim. It comes to teach you that Moshe Rabbeinu caused that to bring the attribute of mercy onto Klal Yisrael, and that's what the word hechel, it means from yechulu, and it's a terminology of causing, of placing. And finally, the Gemara says that Rabbonin Amri Malamit Shama Moshe lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He says the following thing: Rabbonin Shalom, chulun hulacha maaseis kadavar hazeh, that it's sacrilege in front of Hakadosh Baruch Hu to do the following thing, and that is, it comes from the word chulun, that it's improper, that it's sacrilege, it's not a way of Kaddish like you are to do the thing. And then the Gemara ends with a brisa that gives a last interpretation, that it said in the pasuk, V'yichal Moshe's p'nei Hashem, the Moshe pleaded in front of Hashem, so Tanya Belaza ha-gadol oimer, melamesham and Moshe b'tfil lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at shachazosu achilu, that he stood in prayer in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much until he was seized by achilu. So the Gemara asks, my achilu, what does this mean achilu? Amir Belaza ishalat samas, he had the fire of the bones. So which the Gemara asks, my eshal atzamas, what does it mean that he got so sick, so to speak, that he had the fire of the bones? Amabaya eshtu the garmi, it's bone fire, which is basically a fever that's there in the bones. That's how sick he made himself that in his prayer for HaKadosh, for the Klal Yisrael in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have many different interpretations. Either it means that he, so to speak, hechlehu, he pushed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, he pressed him that much, or it means he annulled his vow, because that's a lotion of yachel devorai, of annulling his vow, or it means that he was meisa nefesh, which that's a lotion of chol, of a corpse, or it means that he caused the attribute of mercy to come, which is a lotion of hechla, that he caused, or it means chulin, that, so to speak, Hashem, it's sacrilege for you to do this thing. And finally, we said that it means that he made himself so sick until he got the sickness of achilu, which is this fever in the bones. So now the Gemara goes back to the tefillah of Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu said the following prayer. Zechayla Avram li Yitzchak ul Yisrael abadecha. You should remember for the sake of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, your servants, asher nishbat lehem bach, that you swore to them bach by yourself. And that is what you had sworn to them, as it says in Bereishis Chaf Beis, by the Kedav of Yitzchak, bi nishbati, Hashem says, that in me, through me, I'm going to swear, that I'm taking the oath in myself. So the Gemara says, my bach, what does it mean by yourself you took that oath? What is he referencing to? So Rebbe Laza says that Amar Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu the following tefillah. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Master of the World, El Moli Nishbat Elem B'Shemayim Baratz, had you sworn to the office that, you know, in the heaven and the earth, that they should be the guarantors of the oath, Hayisi Aymer K'shem B'Shemayim Baratz B'Teilem Kech Shavaz Chabatelis, I would have said, just like eventually the heaven and earth will end up not being existent anymore. After the 6,000 years, there's going to be 1,000 years that the Shemayim Baratz will not be around. So too, your oath could also eventually be annulled. But now that you swore to them in your great name, he says, "Be so." So just like your great holy name, that it will be existent and it will stay forever and ever. So too, your oath must stay forever and ever and ever, and therefore you must keep your word that you told to the Avos, that you will continue and keep the Klal Yisrael forever and ever. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'tadaber aleim," and you told the Avos, "Arba zarachem kechoich v'shemayim," that I will multiply their children like the stars of the heavens, "V'chala oretz hazayis asher amarti," and that this land that I said, etc., that I'm going to give them. So the Gemara asks, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Asher Amarti, Hay Asher Amarti, Asher Amar Tomi Boile, what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking here, and all this land that I said, say that you said to the Yavis that they're going to get this land. So why is he saying that I said? So Amar Belaza, Ad Kan Devri HaTamar, up until here, until the words, Kechoich V'Hashemayim, that you told them that I will multiply their children like the stars of the heaven, that's up until where is the words of the student. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. But from here and on, well, the words of the master, that when he said the words of and that this land that I said, this was Hashem talking, that Hashem said that I will do as you said. And therefore, it's not a contradiction. That was the first half of the sentence was Moshe Rabbeinu talking, and the second half of the sentence was Hashem talking, saying that I will do that. That he said that I will give them the land, and so to speak, he was acceding to Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillas. The Gemara gives a different interpretation of the pasuk to answer this question of Asher Amarti. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmanu Omar, Eilu ve'Eilu Devei Talmud. No, they're both the words of the Talmud. This was Moshe Rabbeinu talking the whole entire sentence. So what does it mean, Asher Amarti? Elakach ama Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu said the following to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shelam, Dvar Misha Amarta Li, the words that you told me, which was at the Sneh, by the burning bush, you told me that in Shemois Gimel, Ela Eschem Me'on Mitzrayim, El Eretz Tov Rechav, you said I will take them up from the poverty of Mitzrayim to the great and expansive land in the reference to Eretz Yisrael. So those words that you told me by the Sneh, that you said, Leich Emelahem Li Yisrael B'Shmi, that you told them to tell Klal Yisrael in my name, that I'm going to do this, take them up to Eretz Yisrael, Halachti V'Amarti Lem B'Shmecha, I went and I told them these things in your name. That's what he says, V'Chal Ha'Oretz HaZos Asher Amarti. The Moshe Rabbeinu says that I told them that you said this. So Achshav Ma'ani Oyim Elohim, so now what am I going to tell them? That's what he was referencing when he was saying Asher Amarti. He said, now what am I going to tell them? I already promised them in your name that they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and now in the midway, you want to kill them out? Nothing more continues with a different tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Bapa Telna, we're talking about his tefillah after the chet of the eagle of the gold calf. Now the Gemara is going to be speaking about the tefillah they said after the chet of the meraglim by the spies when they went to Eretz Yisrael and came back with a bad report. So the Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem that mibilti yecholas Hashem, that the nations are going to say that it's because Hashem, so to speak, lacked the ability to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is medayik yochal Hashem yiboyle. It should have said that Hashem was unable. Why does it say in the Lashon of Nekeva, Yecholus, that it's Hashem was unable? It should have said Yochel, that Hashem was unable. Why does it say Yecholus? So Amir Belazer, Belazer says that Amir Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu said the following in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shelam, Master of the World, Achshav Yoyimru Umas HaOlam, Toshesh Koichek Nekeva. Now the nations of the world are going to say that Hashem's strength, so to speak, has been ebbed like a female. And that is because that's the word yecholus, which is more feminine. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unable like a female. Ve'en yochel hatzal. Now he can't save them anymore. He, so to speak, lost his energy. He's not manly anymore like he was when he talked about Mitzrayim. And that's what they're going to mock, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he doesn't have the power to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why you shouldn't kill them out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to Moshe, V'lekvaro nisim gvurisha sislam al yam. But they already saw the great many miracles and the strength that I showed on the Yamsuf. It's either was 200 or 250. It was amazing miracles that happened. How could they say that it's I'm unable to bring them into Eretz Yisrael? So I'm on the phone of Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So Moshe Rabbeinu responded to him and he said, Master of the World, Adayin yeshlam loyim. They still have room to say. And they're going to say, "L'melech echad yochel amid." Hashem was able to stand up to one king, the king of Egypt. L'shloishim ve'echad malachim en yochel amid, but he can't stand up to the 31 kings that were present in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So Amir Yechon Minayin Shachaz Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'hoidel Moshe. Where do we know that Hakadosh Baruch Hu reverted, so to speak, and he admitted to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said that you're right and this shouldn't happen, that the nation should be able to say such a thing, and therefore I'm going to save Klal Yisrael. Shneimel says in the pasuk, "V'yoyim Hashem salachti kedvrecha," that I will forgive them as your words, and that is he admitted to the words of Moshe Rabbeinu that he had said with this tainus, so to speak, that you're right, and therefore I'm going to save Klal Yisrael. So now the Gemara gives a different interpretation for the pasuk we just brought. That Tana Deberi Bishmal, Kedverecha Asidim Umas Oilam Loimakin, that you're right, as your words, as you said, the nations would have said this, and therefore Ashrei Talmid Sherabbi Moideloi. Fortune is the disciple that his master agrees to him, and that is what he said, that I will forgive them as your words, that Take would have been as you had said, and therefore I'm going to save them. So Hashem said, V'ulam chai oni, but as I live. So the Gemara explains, what was Hashem referring to when he said this, but as I live? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just saying to Moshe, Moshe, hechiyisanu bidvarecha. Moshe, you kept me alive with your words. That's Hashem is saying, but as I live, that's chai oni, then I'm alive. In other words, what do you mean Hashem is alive? Of course he is. In other words, you kept me alive in front of the nations that, you're right, were I to kill them, the nations would have, so to speak, mocked me. And now, hechi yisani, you mechayi me, you kept me alive with your interceding for the favor of Klai Yisrael, and therefore, it's to your credit. The Gemara continues with regards to the other tefillahs of Moshe, and specifically it's going to be related to the topics we were speaking about in this parak regarding the proper preparations and the frame of mind the person should be in when he davens. So Darash Reb Simloi, Lo ilu misada adam shivcha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'achach yisbal. A person should always prepare first the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and afterwards, only then should he daven and ask for the needs that he has. Where do we know this? Minala mimoshe, from Moshe, the chsev, as it says in the pasuk, ve'eschanna l'Hashem be'isahi, that I implored Hashem at that time. And how does it say he did it? V'chsev, Hashem l'kim, ata hachilois l'harsis avducha, that Hashem, my God, you started to show to your servant, as Godlucha v'esjadcha hachazaka, your greatness and your mighty hand, asher mi'el b'shemayim v'aretz, asher yasach ha'masecha v'chugurasecha, that who is a mighty God like you in heaven and earth that can do your acts and your strength. So this is the shvach, he's praising Kadosh Baruch Hu. U'ksiv basrei, and then afterwards it says, e'ebrono v'eretz aretz ha'teva, that let me cross and let me see your great land, your good land, that in other words, he was asking how Kadosh Baruch Hu, his bakasha, to go into Eretz Yisrael. That was how we see that Moshe ben Faris was Meshabeach Hashem, and then he requested his request, and that's how we have our Shema Nesed, that the first three brachas are Birchas Shvach, and then after Atta Kaddish, then we go into our request from Atta Chayin into Shema Tzvilo, then we're Mispal. So the Gemara brings a simonim for the following discussions that's going to come on Numad Beis. Simon, Maisim, Deed, Tzedakah, Charity, Korban, an offering, Kayin, a Kayin. Tainus, a fast, min alalak, and barzal iron, these are the simonim that the Talmid Chacham used to have in the times of the Gemara to remember the different discussions, because it wasn't written down, so they had it as a sign to remember what the discussions were. And we continue on to Amud Beis. The Gemara continues with the explaining the tefillahs of Moshe. Amar Balaza, G'dayla tefillah yesim and maisim tevim, that tefillah is more effective than good deeds. And how do we know this? She'ein l'chol godla b'maisim tovim yisim Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no one that had greater good deeds than Moshe Rabbeinu. And afa pikin le'inena el b'tfilah, was only answered only with through the tefillah. Shenem, as it says in the pasuk, Hashem said to him, al teisiv daber lei, do not continue to talk to me. V'samach lei, and then it says near it, alei reish piska, that you ascend to the top of the cliff. In other words, with your words of your tefillah, I was appeased that at least I'm going to show you it. So I'm not going to let you in, but I'm going to show it to you that we see that it was only in the merit of his tefillah, but had he not davened, even though he had great ma'isim tovim, it would not have allowed him to have that pleasure, that schar of seeing the Eretz Yisrael from the cliff overlooking Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amor. V'amr b'laz, the g'dayla tainis yesim that staka. The greater is fasting than giving charity. My time, well, what's the reason? And that is, fasting is done with a person's body, whereas tzedakah is done with a person's money, and therefore something done with a person's body is greater than what's done, the sacrifice that's given from a person's money. Another statement from Rabbi Laza. The greater is prayer than the sacrifices. Shanim, as it says in the pasuk, Hashem says, Lamali roivs of chechem, why do I need your numerous sacrifices? However, chsev, and it says, uve farischem kapechem, and that when you spread out your hands, and that is, as Rashi explains, were it not that tefillah is greater than the kabbanis, since Hashem already told Klal Yisrael, Lamali roivs of chechem, why do I need your numerous sacrifices? So why would I have to say, and with your spreading of your hands, which is a reference to tefillah, if he doesn't even want their offerings, their kabbanis, for sure he doesn't want their tefillahs. So obviously it's saying that even that I don't want, and that's the chiddush to say that even that which is greater is not going to be enough, and I don't want that. So we see that tefillah is greater than kabbanis. So the Gemara brings from that same pasuk that Amar b'yechanan, kol koyin shaharges anefesh le'isis kapav, any koyin that kills someone should not reach up his hands, and he should not lift up his hands. That's the reference to birchas koyinim. Shenem, as it says in the pasuk, yedeichem damim maleu, that your hands are full of blood, as it says there in those psukim, And then from there we see that that's a reason why Hashem doesn't want them to lift up their hands, which is a reference also to Nesias Kapayim, and so therefore a Kohen that kills someone is not allowed to do Nesias Kapayim. Another statement from Reb Elazar. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of Tefillah have been closed. Shenemad says the Pasuk in Eicha, Gam ki ezak vashaveya sasam tefilasi, that although I scream and I shout out to Hashem, my Tefillah has been shut out. Hashem is not listening anymore. And however, even though that the gates of prayer have been shut, the gates of tears are not shut. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Shema tefilasi Hashem, Hashem, please listen to my prayer, b'shavasi hazina, and listen to my screaming, el demosi al techrash, to my tears do not be silent. And that is, we see from the fact that it doesn't, David HaMelech doesn't say that you should see my tears, that obviously we see that the tears are seen in front of Hashem. The only thing he had to daven for was that it should be mekubal, that Hashem should accept him. That's why don't be silent. In other words, accept them. But we see the fact that the gates are not closed, that the tears Hashem sees. The only thing he had to daven was Hashem should accept them. So the Gemara continues with a different pasuk from Eicha. That Rava lagozer tanisa b'yemid de'eva. Rava would not decree a fast on a cloudy day. Because it says in the pasuk in Eicha, sakoisa b'onanloch, that you wool yourself with a cloud, ma'avoid tefillah, from letting prayers pass. So therefore he saw that the cloudy day is an omen, that the clouds are, so to speak, like walls blocking the tefillah from going. So therefore he wouldn't decree a fast day on that, on when it was a cloudy day. Another statement from the same Amor. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was a wall of iron that was, so to speak, that was put up, that separates between Klal Yisrael and their Father in heaven. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, Va'ata kach lecha machvas barzel, that you should take for yourself an iron pan, V'nesata oisa kir barzel bein cho v'ne'ir, and that you should put this iron wall between you and the city. And that is, this was a simit to Yechezkel, that there is an iron mechitza, an iron separation that separates between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was, he was showing him this by displaying this, by taking this iron pan and making an iron wall to show that there is this separation and that we don't have a direct connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. So then the Gemara continues on the theme of this parak regarding the proper order and the proper custom that a person should have when he davens. Amr b'chan, Amr b'chanina, kalamarech b'tfilasai, in tefillah, chizeres rekim. If someone is lengthy in his tefillah, he davens a long tefillah, his tefillah does not come back empty. He will be answered somewhat. Minolon, Moshe Rabbeinu. We know this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenema v'aspal al Hashem, daven to Hashem. V'chsiv b'asrei, and it says afterwards, v'yishma Hashem alai gam b'pamahi, that Hashem listened to me also at that time. And this was said after the 40 days that he had been davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that because he davened for such a long time, for 40 days, that Hashem acquiesced and he answered him, at least partly, a person will be answered if he has a long tefillah. So the Gemara asks, Ini, is that so, that davening a long Shemayin Esrei will help a person have at least part of his tefillah answered? Whoever has a lengthy Shemayin Esrei, lengthy tefillah, and he contemplates in it, in other words, that he waits, that when is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to do this thing that I'm requesting, because I'm davening so long, and then it doesn't end up happening, and then he sees that all his efforts were in vain, and that hurts him a lot. Like a person that's waiting for a long time that he expects to come and doesn't come, it really hurts. So as the Gemara says, save boli de kavlev, he ends up coming to, he gets to a heartache. Shneema, as it says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, techeles mumushacha, that a prolonged prayer, machlalev, makes the heart sick. And that is that it's not proper for a person to daven a long Shemayin Esrei and anticipate that it's going to be answered. And it says, Maita Kante, so what is the cure for such a person? Yasik b'Torah, he should toil in Torah. Shenema, it says there at the end of that pasuk of Techeles M'mashacha Machlelev, it says, Ve'etz Chayim Ta'avaba, that the tree of life fulfills the desire. In other words, you're anticipating that with your tefillah it's going to be answered, and all you're getting is heartache, that I'm asking, I don't get it. What should a person really do? His cure is that he should have the tree of life, and then his desire will be fulfilled. And the Gemara says, what's the tree of life? The tree of life is a reference to Torah. When the person learns Torah, then his desire will be fulfilled through the Torah. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, that it's a tree of life for those that grasp onto it, that's the approach to get your desires fulfilled. However, having a lengthy Shemayin Esrei is not. That if someone has a lentich manese, he will not be turned away empty-handed. When we say it's not like that, so the Gemara says, no, it depends. Loi kasha. That one is talking about that you have a lengthy shmoneser and you contemplate it, you expect that it's going to be answered, that could bring to heartache. Whereas the one that's talking about that is, he won't be turned away empty-handed is talking about that he'll be lengthy in the shmoneser, but he will not contemplate it. And Tosfos tells us that there is even two types of being ma'ayin in tefillah, of contemplating it. There's the Iyun Tefillah over here, which is that he's anticipating that his request will be fulfilled. That's improper, and therefore he could come to heartache because it's not necessarily going to be as he's asking. Whereas in many places, the Gemara says that Iyun Tefillah, contemplating the Tefillah, is a good thing. It means that you're focusing your heart on Tefillah. That's obviously a good thing. You should think into your Tefillah and be focused in what you're requesting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, you should not anticipate that exactly what you're asking is going to be fulfilled, and then at least part of your Tefillah will actually come true. And the Gemara continues on this about being Mayrach in Tefillah. If a person sees that he davened and he wasn't answered, he should go back and daven again. And the person should be persistent. That's what it means. The person should have lengthy shmoneses. He should continue davening to Hashem. It says in the Pasuk, Kaveh al Hashem. You should hope to Hashem. Chazik v'yamas lebecha. Strengthen yourself and you should be courageous of heart. Kaveh al Hashem. And again, hope to Hashem. And that's the idea. That is, if you see that you're not getting what you asked for, your desire is not being fulfilled, then go back to Hashem and again, continue to communicate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you'll see everything that you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be doing in the proper way. The Gemara continues on this thing about that a person should be strong and strengthen himself and continue in certain elements that require strength. So the Gemara brings a brisa that there are four things that need strength that a person should constantly and consistently strengthen himself with all his might. The Elohim, and these are the four things. Torah, a person always has to strengthen himself in his Torah learning. Umaisim Toivim, good deeds. Tzfilah, in his prayer. V'derech Eretz, and for a person's livelihood. And that is in whatever his profession is, whether it be in business or whether it be at war, whatever it is the person is doing, he constantly has to be pushing himself and strengthening himself to be successful and fulfill what he has to do. So the Gemara brings the source for these four things. Torah, Maisim, Tov, Minayim. Where do we know that Torah and good deeds require constant strengthening? Shenemet says in the Pasuk that Hashem said to Yeshua, Rak chazak v'amutz ma'od. Only that you should be strong and courageous. Lishma v'lasis k'chol ha-Torah, that you should observe and you should fulfill the whole entire Torah. So the Gemara explains that, what does it mean, chazak v'amutz, that you should be strong and courageous? It means strong in Torah and va'amitz b'maisim tovim, and courageous in good deeds. And that is the words lishmer v'lasis, that lishmer is always connotes the learning of Torah, and lasis means the doing, it's the good deeds. So we see that that's chazik v'amitz. We see that these two things require constant strengthening. Tefillah minayim, we don't even know that prayer needs constant strengthening. Shenem, as it says in the passage we brought before, kavel Hashem, hope to Hashem, chazik v'amitz lebecha, strengthen yourself, be courageous, v'kavel Hashem, again, hope to Hashem, again, you need to constantly strengthen yourself in this endeavor of Trila. And finally, Derech Eretz Minayim, where do we know that a person's livelihood, the thing that he's involved in this earth, also needs constant strength? Nik Shanema, as it says, Chazak, strengthen yourself in this Chazak, and let us be strengthened, Ba'adameinu, for the sake of our nation. This was a pasuk which was referencing the different factions of the Jewish army that's saying that we have to strengthen ourselves, we have to be strong, and that's the element of a person that has to constantly strengthen himself, whether it be a soldier, whether it be a professional, whatever it is, he has to constantly strengthen himself in his endeavor. So now the Gemara brings up a pasuk from Yeshaya, which references to the ideas we were speaking about before, about the eagle and about karbonis. So the pasuk says, V'tomer tzion azivani Hashem. That Tzion, in reference to Klal, he said that Hashem has forsaken us. V'Hashem shechachni, and Hashem has forgotten us. So Gemara asks, what's this redundancy? Hayna zu v'hayna shrucha. This that Hashem has forsaken us is the same thing as that Hashem has forgotten us. So Amar Shlokish, Amar Knesset Yisrael of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gathering of Klal Yisrael said this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World. Adam noisi isha al ishta rishayna. If it ever happens that a man marries another woman after his first wife, so Zeicher Maisa Rishon, although he marries another woman, but at least he remembers the acts of his first wife. He remembers the things that they had together. Ata Azavasni Vishachachtani, you have forsaken me. You've gone on to someone else, and you've forgotten me. So Amalak Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu told her, the Klal Yisrael, it has that father-daughter relationship, that Biti Yudbeis Mazalos Berisi Berakia. There are 12 constellations that I have created in the firmament in the Shemayim. And on every constellation, I have made 30 army commanders around that constellation. And around every army commander, I made 30 legion. And the Gemara is going to bring many different terminologies, which are all in the hierarchy of leadership in the army. And the Gemara continues, and Hashem says that for every legion, I made 30 rehatin, which are different types of leaders. I made for every one of the rehatin, I made 30 karten. I made 30 gistra. And for every gistra, I hung up in the firmament 365,000 myriads, which is 10,000 each times 365,000, of stars, which correspond to the days of the sun, which have a cycle of 365 days. So we see that each one, we see the cycle times multiplied, each mazel having 30, having, and that each one having 30 of that, and 30 of that, and 365,000. That's how many, and the cosmos are endless. And I only created them only for you. And you say that I have forsaken you and forgotten you. I only made the whole world for you. So the Gemara brings the pasuk afterwards that Hashem says, "Hasishkach isha ula." Can a woman forget her baby? So what's this interesting terminology of ula? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Klum eshkach oilos elim." Can I forget the burnt offerings? That's the word ula, which reference to the oilos of the elim of the rams. And the first issuing of the wombs, which is the halach of Petach Hamor, which are brought, the firstborn of the Seh and the Hamor, that you sacrificed in front of me in the Midbar. In other words, I can't forget these Eilois. So Amr Lefanov, so the Klal Yisrael responded to Hashem, so Rabbi Yisrael mastered the world. So since there's no forgetfulness in front of your holy, your great throne, in other words, you're saying you're not forgetting all the good that we've done, you're not forsaking us, so maybe you're not going to forget the act of the golden calf, and you're always going to hold that against us. So Amalah, so he said to her, to Klai, so no, gam eila tishkach, this also I will forget, which the word eila is a reference to the Maisa Egel. As it says in Shmei Islam and Beis, that Klal Yisrael said, Eila Elohecha Yisrael, this is your God, Klal Yisrael, and the reference to the to the eagle, to the golden calf, and that's Gam Eila, also Eila, which was the sin of the Chetah Eagle, I will forget. So I'm a lefanov, so Klal Yisrael responded back to Hashem, so Rabbi Nishleil, since we see there is forgetfulness in front of your holy throne, that is, you're going to forget the Maisa Egel. So maybe you're going to forget for me what happened at Sinai, that we had this bond, we got married, so to speak, that you we had this covenant of Nasav and Nishma. You're going to forget this great thing that we did. That I will not forget. And that's a reference to Har Sinai, which Hashem said, that Anoichi, I will not forget. And that's what the Gemara says. Now, what does it mean over there in the Pesukim that Hashem says that this also I will not forget? That's a reference to the Ma'aseh Egel that Hashem says that this I will forget. That I will forget Eila, which was Eila Elohecha Yisrael. And I will not forget. That's a reference to what happened at Har Sinai that we accepted the Torah. That's Va'anoichi, that Hashem says, Anoichi Shemakecha, that I will not forget. Now the Gemara returns to the mission that said, regarding the proper preparation before one davens and the right frame of mind, says Chasidim Rishayim Hayishayim Shoachas, that the earlier pious ones, that they would wait 1 hour in the place where they were going to daven before they went to daven, as we explained over there in the Mishnah. Like that tefillah is a meditative state, a time of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's so to speak like a trance, and there's even a mantra that a person repeats every day, three times a day, and therefore they would put themselves in the proper frame of mind before they went again to go ahead and daven. So the Gemara is Menuha Nemili. From where do we know this? What was their source to wait before one davens? So Amir B'Shu Ben Levi, Amakra, there's a pasuk that says, Ashrei Yoishvei V'Secha, praiseworthy are those that sit in your house. And then afterwards it only says, Od Yehalelucha Sela, that then they praise you forever. So we see that first a person has to sit, he has to be settled, he has to be Yoishvei V'Secha, and then afterwards he could be Yehalelucha Sela, then they could praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why they would be shoyin sha'achas, they would wait before they would daven. Taisus says, interesting, that that is why they were mesakin, they instituted this pasuk before what's commonly known as Ashrei, but they really start to hilul David, Arim Mimcha, and it continues through the Aleph Beis, And that is why we instituted those psukim, although it's not really part of Tehillah David, but they put the words Asher Yeshev Yisrecha to say this idea, this concept, about that we say the Asher before we daven, so that we should first be settled, we should be in the right frame of mind, and then we could go ahead and stand up in front of Hashem and be mispal da'amida. So the Gemara says, V'amri b'shuban Levi, ha'mispal tzarech lishay sho'achas achet tefillah. So b'shuban Levi says that whoever davens, he has to wait an hour after he davens also. So to speak, there's like takeoff time and there's settling down, coming down from where it is. A person has to be in a high frame of mind. He can't just go back and do his mundane activities. So Nemad says in the Pasuk, Ach tzadikim yoydu l'shmecha, that surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. And then it says, Yishvu yisharm es penecha, that the upright will linger in your presence, and that we see that through in the order of the pasuk. It says the first they're going to give thanks, that's the tefillah, and then Yeshu Yishar Mes Penecha, then they will sit, they will linger in your presence, the righteous, the upright. So you see that they still have to stay. You don't just leave right away, it's not proper, and you have to wait time afterwards, a sha'achas, after one finishes. And that's why some people have the custom to recite this pasuk after their tefillah. The Gemara says, "Tami namahoch." Similarly, we learned in the Brisa that a mespal tzarch sheyisha sha'achas kain tefilas. That whoever prays, he has to wait an hour before he davens. V'sha'achas achet tefilas, and he has to wait an hour after he davens. Kaidim tefilas minayin. Where do we know that you have to wait before you daven? Shenema asher yesh v'visecha. As we said, that praiseworthy is the one that sits in your house and then he's yahad luchasel. Then he praises. La'achet tefilas minayin. Where do we know that you have to wait after your tefillah? Tachsev, as it says in the pasuk, Ach tzadikim yid l'shmecha, yishvu yisharm es penecha. That surely the righteous give thanks to your name, which is the tefillah, and then yishvu yisharm es penecha, that they linger, they sit, the upright, in your presence, and that they continue to be there. And the Gemara explains this, that Tanya Rabbanan, Chasidim ha-yishoinim, ha-yishoin sha'achas, ha-mespalin sha'achas, that the earlier pious ones, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, they would wait 1 hour before they daven. Then they would daven for 1 hour. Now you could calculate how long each word of Shemoneh Esrei took if they daven for an hour. And then they would go back and wait an hour after they daven. So the Gemara asks, if they spent 9 hours a day in tefillah, and that is because there's three tefillahs. So there's an hour before, an hour during, an hour after. To multiply that by three, comes up to 9 hours a day. So terasin heich mishtameres, how is their Torah preserved? And that is in their heart, that they shouldn't forget their learning. Umalachten heich neses, and how was their work ever done? They didn't have time in the day. So the Gemara says, l'metech shechasidim heim, since they were pious ones, terasin mishtameres, umalachten misbereches. Their Torah was preserved, and their work was blessed, and even though they had very little time to work, and very little time to continue in their learning was preserved, and their work was blessed. However, the Mefarshim Armadaik, as Rashi seems to indicate also, that it says that the Torah is preserved, which is that obviously a person is not on the Madrega until much later in life when he has actually attained the learning. It's only to retain the learning that will be retained, in spite of the fact that a person always needs to do Chazara. Since they're pious ones and they're constantly davening, their Torah was preserved in spite of the fact that they weren't able to do as much chazara as they wanted to. So the Gemara returns to the Mishnah that says, "Afilah ha-melech shoyl b'shloim elishav." And if a person is engaged in tefillah, even if a king is greeting him and requesting his favor of how he's doing, he shouldn't respond. So the Gemara qualifies this and says, "Amar Rav Yosef leishonu el malchi Yisrael." This was only said if it's a Jewish king that's extending his request for how he's doing. But if it's a non-Jewish king, then he should interrupt Tishmein Esrei, and that is so that he shouldn't get killed. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei, we learned, Tamispal v'ro anas bo kenegdo. If someone's in the middle of davening and sees a dangerous person coming opposite him, or ro a kor in bo kenegdo, if he sees a wagon coming opposite him, in our days it would be a car, lo yehei mafsik, he shouldn't interrupt Tishmein Esrei, ele makatzav oil, rather he should abridge it, and then finish it. In other words, he should finish it, but he shouldn't, and make it as a bridge as possible, but he shouldn't just stop in middle. And whereas we had just said from Rabbi Yosef that you should stop in middle. So it seems to be a contradiction from this brisa. So the Gemara says, loy kasha. Ha'de'ef shel katzer. This brisa that was saying that he shouldn't just stop in middle, rather he should abridge it and then finish, that's if he's close towards the end and he could abridge it and finish. However, this case of Rabbi Yosef told him that he was in the middle and he would have no way to finish, so then definitely a person should just stop and he shouldn't put himself in a dangerous situation. So the Gemara brings an incident related to this halacha, the Tana Ban. There was once an incident that happened, that there was a pious person that was on the road and he was praying. So a prince came and gave him a greeting. and didn't respond to his greeting. He was Meldav Nishmai Nase. So Himtun Lo Yatshut Sayim Tvilase. So the prince waited until this chassid finished his prayer. After he finished his tefillah, he said, "You empty one." But like Kazi B'Tereskim says in your own Torah, you should be careful and you should protect your soul. Uchsevan then also says in your Torah, that you should protect very much your soul and you shouldn't put yourself in a dangerous situation. When I gave you my greeting, why didn't you respond to my greeting? If I would chop off your head with a sword, who would go ahead and demand from me your blood? I'm a prince. You should be responding to me when I request my greeting. And therefore, it's improper. You're putting yourself in the sakana, which you're not allowed to. So the chassid, the pious one, said, "Be patient with me until I appease you with words. Let me explain to you why I didn't respond to you." Amalei, he said to the prince, let's say it would be that you would be standing in front of a flesh and blood king. And then your friend would come, as you're standing in front of the king, you're just a prince, you're just a higher up, but you're not the king. And then your friend would come and give you a greeting. Hayisa, and we continue on to the top of Lama Gimel Manav. Hayisa Maxilei, would you respond to him? Would you say, "Oh, how you doing," when he's in the middle of talking to the king? Amalei Lav, he says, "No, for sure not, I'm standing in front of the king." And let's say you would respond to him, and you would start talking to your friend in front of the king. What would they do to you? They would chop up my head with a sword. They said to him, and here it's all the more so. If you say that this would be the situation if you were standing in front of a flesh and blood king, today he's here, but tomorrow he's in the grave. That's how it would be, and you wouldn't respond because of the dire consequences. So me, that I'm standing in front of the King of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's alive and he continues to be here today and forever and ever. Alachas kama v'kama, isn't it all the more so that I can't interrupt in between, even though you, my friend, a greater person, comes and asks how I'm doing? So the Gemara says, Miyad nispayis oisa asara, so that at that moment the prince was appeased. V'niftar oisa chasid lebeis l'shalom. And then that the pious person was able to go home to his house in peace, and he wasn't punished because of the incident that happened.